Welcome to the Life Church Podcast. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you are ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
Good morning. Just indulge me for a few moments. Just want you to close your eyes for a moment. I just want you to close your eyes. And I want you to put yourself in a situation where you're spying or you're peeking in on Jesus having a conversation with his heavenly Father. That could be back 2,000 years ago, it could be in modern day. But you've just happened to be able to geg in on Jesus speaking to his Father. And he's talking to his Father, he's sharing how he's feeling. He's committing his day to his Father and asking for his Father's help for all the sick people that he's going to meet that want healing, for the people that are feeling rejected and neglected, for the people that are feeling ostracized, feeling outside of his Father's favor, that he's going to meet that day. Him sharing how he's feeling, that he may be feeling a little bit tired, a little bit weary. It's been long days, hard days, demanding days. And he's asking his Father for strength and for health and for his daily food. And also he's praying for his disciples. He's praying for Peter and James and John, Matthew. And he's naming them one by one and asking his Father to bless them and to help them in the coming day to understand more of what they are to be when he eventually is taken from them. And you're just hearing this conversation between Jesus and his Father. You've just found a privileged moment where you can just earwig. Okay. You may open your eyes. In Luke 11, verse 1, it says this. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. And as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Hearing Jesus, their master, their mentor, praying openly and genuinely and authentically to his Father, reaching out to him, sharing with him. His disciple turned around and said, Lord, teach me to pray like this. And you notice he says, don't teach me what to pray or what to say, but he says, teach us to pray. Another translation says it like this. If we are to follow you, Lord, we want to follow you into your prayer life. That's how I want to pray. That's how I want to relate to you. And we've been going through a series the last few weeks. And the three topics we've had is praying up, praying out, and praying in. And this morning my topic is praying in. And there's so, there's so much that you can cover in this topic. So I'm only going to scrape just the very surface of it. And I want to just spend a few moments talking about our prayer being authentic. So whether we're praying out loud in a meeting, whether we're praying for one another and helping one another, or we're having our own personal prayer to God, the most important thing that Jesus teaches is that that prayer must be authentic. And if that prayer is just repeating stuff, praying because we've got to, praying because we're told to, praying because we hear everybody else to pray, we've missed the whole point. Prayer is our link, is our avenue of being able to communicate to our Heavenly Father. And the more real and authentic our prayer is, then the more we'll sense His presence and His grace within our prayers. And we'll see that Jesus then begins to move on in this following passage of teaching and helping His disciples how to pray authentically. Because when the disciples heard Jesus, they realized that this was a prayer that was spilling out of a relationship and not just out of some figure that he's hoping that is out there. A prayer that's going to somebody that's there beyond the clouds that hopefully is listening. No, what they heard was a human being, a man, talking to his Father and sharing his heart. And I think that's what captured the heart of the spying disciple. And the more I read this and understand it, I want that to capture my heart too. Our focus, where however we pray and wherever we pray, must be who we're praying to and not what we're saying. And I was caught up for years and years, been a Christian 40 odd years, and just caught up with what people think about what I'm saying. When I'm praying, what people think about what I'm saying. Does it sound good? Does it sound right? Does it sound impressive? And there's all that stuff that goes on, and our mind gets so much caught up with what people are thinking. Does it fit in with other people's prayers? So-and-so prays like that. I want to sound like that. And prayer this morning, in whatever context, it must be about who we're praying to and not what we're saying. And praying out is always an ordeal. Whether that's praying privately at home, it can be an ordeal of trying to get down and pray. Praying in small groups or praying for one another can be a great ordeal. And praying out loud in a meeting like this can be an immense ordeal for any one of us. But if you can just take hold of what essence I'm bringing to us this morning and try and keep it as simple as possible, it's about who we're praying to. And we'll find the whole experience more enjoyable and more connective to God. When I'm praying regularly each day, if I remember that it's not about the fact that I should be praying, it's not about the fact of what I'm saying, it's the fact that I'm getting to talk to my Heavenly Father and just letting Him know what's ahead of my day, letting Him know what my fears and my anxieties are, letting Him know what I feel is going to happen that day, asking Him for strength, asking Him for wisdom, asking Him just to be with me, to lead me and to guide me, and that prayer is authentic and it's to God. So often we get caught up in the performance rather than the prayer. And Jesus gave some great pointers to authentic prayer. And I'm just going to read. Don't turn to it, just listen to it. But it's from Matthew, and it's in chapter 6. And I'm reading it from the Message Bible. Don't use the Message that often, but I think it just expounds it and makes it a little bit more of the language that we would use today. And this is what Jesus says. He says, when you do something for somebody else, don't call attention to yourself. So in this chapter, he's talking about wherever you help people or you give out money or whatever else, whatever you do, don't do it to bring attention to yourself. And then he goes on to prayer. He says, treating prayer as a stage. Acting compassionate as long as somebody is watching, playing to the crowds. Playing to the crowds. That's what Jesus is saying not to do. Don't have other people in mind when you're praying in an inner situation. Because when we play to the crowds, our prayer becomes inauthentic. Because we're praying to the crowd for people to listen to rather than the very thing that we're praying about. Let me give you an illustration. In the book of Romans, the church are praying for Peter. He's in prison. James has already been killed for his faith. And they're praying for Peter. And so the church are having a prayer meeting. And they're on their knees and they're praying for Peter. And they're asking God and they're doing all the things that they're doing in the prayer meeting. And then there's a knock on the door. Rhoda goes to answer the door. And she says, who is it? And she says, it's Peter. So she goes back to the prayer meeting and just says, Peter's at the door. And basically the prayer meeting says, get a grip, Rhoda. We're praying for Peter. He's in prison. No, Peter's at the door. Basically, she's saying, your prayer's been answered. But because of what they were caught up in, they'd lost the focus that they're praying for Peter to be let out of prison. And the answer was knocking at the door. And they were so caught up in their prayer meeting that they'd almost lost the whole reason why they were praying. And here's Peter knocking at the door saying, let me in, stop the prayer meeting. You don't need to pray no more because your prayer is answered. And so often we can get just caught up in just being repetitive about what we do. That's not prayer this morning. And I've had to journey so much in my own Christian experience to keep away from just being in a pattern of prayer, a pattern of just doing because I'm supposed to, just doing because it's been requested of me, just doing it so I feel better that I've not missed my prayer time. And I'm losing the whole reason why I've been given the access to God through prayer. It's that I'm communicating. Hello. I'm communicating to my Heavenly Father. And that's what had happened in the church there. And their answer was knocking at the door. Carrying on in verse 4, it says, they get applause. True, but that's all they get. When you come before God, don't turn it into a theatrical production either. I love that. When you come before God, don't turn it into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for 15 minutes of fame. Do you think God sits in a box seat? And it's all, he's again just saying, it's all about this performance-driven articulating a great prayer that other people are listening to. Or if we're alone and private, it's just about going through a mode of prayer. We've lost our perspective and our authenticness of prayer. And then Jesus says, this is what I do. I find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. I love that. I find a quiet, secluded place so that you won't be tempted to role play, so that I can be there as simply and honestly as I can. Let me say this morning that just when he says find a secluded and quiet place, that doesn't always mean a room by yourself, but it means inside, that I find that inner secluded place. So I can be in a prayer meeting, but I'm in my own inner secluded place, so that when I'm within a prayer meeting and I'm praying out loud, or if I'm with you and praying with you and encouraging you, I'm in that own secluded place where I'm praying directly to God, and I'm not performing in front of you. I'm not wanting you to hear something that you want to say, but I'm speaking directly to my Heavenly Father. And we see that in the life of Jesus many times when people meet him and they need an answer to prayer, and he reaches out to them and he looks up into heaven. When he took the loaves and the fishes, he took hold of them and he looked up into heaven and he blessed them and he asked his Father to give them a miracle. In the midst of a mighty crowd of 5,000 people plus, he found a quiet and secluded place where he could reach out to his Father and say, bless these people. And I want to encourage you to develop that. Because as you find that quiet, secluded place where you are genuinely talking openly and honestly to your Father, you will enjoy and deepen your prayer life, and it will enrich your relationship with God. This is what Hannah did. I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago when I was hosting the Sunday morning service. And there was a time when Hannah was not bearing children. Her husband had two wives, and his other wife was tormenting Hannah, you know, and saying, why aren't you bearing children? You know, I'm a baby producing woman here, and, you know, God shut up your womb here. You can't even produce a son. And day after day, Hannah was being tormented. Hannah was being taunted about the fact that God had shut up her womb, because back in the day, if you couldn't bear children, it was a real scourge. They felt that, you know, that it was a curse of God. And she felt really humiliated. She felt down. She felt despised and everything else. And it says that she goes into the church and she prays. And she's in the church on her own in this seat. And she's just crying out to God. And the scripture actually says that she's crying out to God. There's tears coming down her face. And her mouth's moving, but there's nothing coming out. And the priest comes in and accuses her of being drunk, and says, how can you come into church and sit on this seat in a drunken state? And she says, sir, I'm not drunk. She says, I'm pouring out my heart to God. I'm pouring out my heart to God. And it says that Eli heard what she'd said. And he said, God has heard your prayer. And God will bless you. And then we find that Hannah eventually fell pregnant. She poured out her heart. She sobbed. She wept. And there was no verbal prayer. But her very actions were that she was praying from the inside. She was praying from that secluded place. She was praying from that quiet place. She was letting God know how distraught she was. She was letting God know that I feel humiliated. I feel like you don't love me. I feel like you're against me. Her other, this woman who's taunting me every day, she's having children. And I feel like you don't love me. I feel like you're not blessing me. I feel like you've cursed me. And she's letting him know all these inner feelings that she's got. And as the tears are flowing down her face, and as she's being honest before God, it says God heard her prayer. And that's what Jesus is saying. That when you pray, let it not be a performance, but let it be from the heart. Because this is what God hears. This is what God hears. He doesn't hear this only when it comes from here. And over the last few years, I've really enjoyed the revelation and the understanding that even my thoughts during the day are a continual prayer to God. As I'm thinking good of people, as I'm wanting the best out of people, as I'm wanting situations to be right, as I'm wanting to make the right decision, all those thoughts are a continual prayer before God. And I'm realizing that this whole thing of prayer is a lot less labor intensive than what I really realized, because he's hearing me all the time. And as I'm thinking good, as I'm thinking blessing, as I'm wanting to do the right thing, I'm wanting to make the right choices, all those are a continual prayer to God. And it's released me a little bit, because very often I'm thinking, God, I've not prayed today. I've not got on my knees. And I've realized that I don't necessarily need to do that, because God's hearing my heart all the time. I'm not saying that it's not good just to sometimes get on our knees and sometimes just put a place aside. But I don't know about your life, but my life's bonkers. You know, running a big project at the moment, 7 grandchildren, a wife to please, 4 children, church stuff, family stuff, life stuff, a home to run, lawns to cut, and all the kind of stuff that we get on with. And I'm realizing that as I do all those things, if my thoughts are just always towards him, that is a continual prayer to him. It's wonderful. And Hannah's prayer was heard. Listen to this. It's not how we pray, but it's that we pray. Say that again. It's not how we pray, it's that we pray. And the focus will shift from you to God. And it says you will sense his grace. In verse 6, it says the focus will shift from you. All that pressure we put on ourselves to perform, all that pressure we put on ourselves to sound good, or all that pressure we put on ourselves that will this prayer be accepted? Will people laugh? Will people think I'm immature? Will people think that I'm not as good as the other person that can pray? All that attention goes off myself. And I'm not too bothered how this prayer sounds. I'm not too bothered what people think about this prayer, because this is my prayer that is going to my Heavenly Father. And I guarantee that every authentic prayer like that captures people's heart. And it says, And as it shifts the focus from you to God, it says you will begin to sense the grace of God. In other words, you'll begin to sense that God is listening. God's listening. Now, whatever answers we receive is a different thing, but there's that whole sense that He is listening, because I've let my heart go to Him. A bit like when we let our heart go to somebody in life, where we begin to fancy somebody or fall in love with somebody. We begin to open up, don't we? We begin to share deeper things of our life, and we expose ourselves to somebody else, and they begin to hear that this person is sharing something deeper with me than they do with anybody else. Or a counsellor, and somebody who's being counselled, you know, when you begin to open up and share stuff that you wouldn't share with somebody else, and it's being listened to and it's being heard. It's exactly the same with God. And there is a grace that comes. The world, it says, the world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They are full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. He says, don't fall for that nonsense. That's great. Let me read that again because I got it mixed up. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Do not fall for that nonsense. Our prayer is so private, and our conversation with God is so private. It's between you and Him. It's a bit like somebody saying, right, okay, if you've fallen for somebody, here's a manual of how to talk to them. If you fell for that guy or if you fell for that woman, here's a little book, so you need to read through that book, and these are things that you need to say. No, you don't, do you? Look at these little three girls giggling here. It's not like that, is it? No. Because what happens is that you've fallen for somebody and you just begin to, without being told what to say, it comes out of you, and it's a prayer when we talk to God. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. It's not about formulas. It's not about putting together sentences. It's not about a technique. It's about being honest before God. This is your Father you are dealing with, Jesus says. This is your Heavenly Father you're dealing with. And He knows better than you what you need. I love that. He knows better than me what I need. With God, with a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. And I think when we get a grasp now of what Jesus is trying to help His disciples to keep away from, just a formula, just being repetitive. In fact, there's another version that says, you know, don't be like the hypocrites that stand on the street corners and they're praying out loud and praying all these wonderful words. And He says, do you think that the Heavenly Father will hear them for their much, much words? No. He said, that's not what it's about. It's about praying to a Heavenly Father that actually knows what you need more than yourself. And then His next words were, so this is the kind of prayer, our Father, which is in heaven. And it begins to go through what we call the Lord's Prayer. That was never intended to be a prayer that we repeat. There's another version that says, Jesus says, so pray along these lines. In other words, these are bullet points. You heard me pray before. You sneaked in on my prayer meeting with my Heavenly Father. And this is how I prayed. These are some bullet points of how I prayed. I asked my Heavenly Father to give me my daily bread. I asked my Heavenly Father not to lead me into temptation. I asked my Heavenly Father and I hallowed His name. So, guys, pray along these lines. These are some guidelines for you. This is bullet points of what you just heard me pray. And I think when we understand the simplicity of prayer, it takes the agony out of it. And I've had so much in my Christian experience that was just so hard and so negative. In environments where people could pray these massive great prayers for half an hour, and I'm thinking, I'll never get there, I'll never be able to pray like that. And all the time, God was looking down thinking, good, I hope you don't, because I want to hear you pray. I want to hear your voice. More importantly, I want to hear your heart. Because they can pray for half an hour, but if it's not their heart, they can pray all night long, and it will not get any further than this ceiling. But one prayer that is honest, unlocks God's grace, unlocks God's goodness and kindness into our lives. And when that prayer becomes real and it becomes authentic, He hears it. He hears it. Just to finish with, I was under the ministry of a guy that had been involved in 7 major revivals back in 1983, 84. I was under his ministry for a while. A guy from Atlanta and down in Argentina, part of the Argentine revival. And just listening to the accounts of how revival started. And every revival started because somebody was honest in prayer. That all the play acting stopped. All the repetitive stuff stopped. And revival came. And he was invited to a church in this country, and that's where I bumped into him. And this church wanted a revival themselves. They got fed up with just doing church. And so they invited this Ed Miller. And he came to the church and he said, okay, you want revival? You want to see God move? He says, just stop everything you're doing. Put all your guitars down, put all your keyboards down, and just pray. And I'll be back next year. So for a whole year, this church down in London just packed everything up. And every Sunday was a prayer meeting. He came back a year later. He stayed for one meeting. And he went and he says, I'll be back again next year. For 2 years, the church just didn't sing a song. They didn't do their usual stuff. And when he went the second year, there was an amazing outpouring of the power of God and the love of God in that church. Because as soon as he stood, he began to pray and people began to weep. And there was bodies all over the place just falling in love and in repentance. And stuff was happening all over. No one was touching a soul. But they'd all come to a point where they'd put down their repetitious stuff, the stuff that they'd done for years as believers. The church cycle that they'd been in was halted. A spanner was put in the spokes. They thought, where do we go from here? And the church was reborn and restarted because people began to really cry out to God for his presence and for his love. And I say that this morning because that happens personally in our lives. That as we pray authentically, as we pray from our heart, God hears. God revives us personally. And instead of it becoming a drudge and an issue, prayer can be so much of an issue in church. It becomes something beautiful. And I'm just beginning to enjoy, after 40 years, more beauty in prayer than I ever have in my Christian experience.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Please keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.